Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
We're going to go in our Bibles, first of all, to Matthew chapter 6. I want to share today what we'll call part of our vision for 2020. This is something we've done every year of our ministry, I believe. And we just want to, at the first of this year, the first Sunday, in this case of this year, to kind of share with you some insights and some priority points that we can help orient ourselves in this new year and a new decade, by the way. And that 2020, I never imagined we would live or be in an earth, or there be an earth this far in the future. I mean, when I was a kid, I did not see this world lasting this long. I didn't see myself living this long. When I got saved back in the 80s, all the prophecies that I read looked like we'd be in heaven by now. Looked like everything be over by now. But as the Bible says, God is patient, not willing any to perish, but to all to come to knowledge of the truth. Therefore, he has extended time. He's permitting all this foolishness in the world. He wants people to have a chance to be saved. He could wrap it all up, but he wants people to have a chance. So then we have a chance to put the word out, to preach the gospel, to make a difference. So here we are, 2020, the year of our Lord, 2020. So I'll say this, welcome to the year of our Lord, 2020 AD. You know, Jesus changed the time. 2020, 2020, that's how long it's been since Jesus came. That's how important he is. Before he came, they were counting down the years to zero. And then after he came, we began counting up. But we thank him. We know he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the creator of this world, this universe. He is the author of time and the governor of eternity. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, today the Lord wants you to be inspired, wants you to be informed and renewed in hope in this new year. Now, New Year's Eve, we heard from our ministers. I asked them to share a exhortation from the text we just read. Well, read it now if you could, please. Matthew 6:22, read if you could, please, with me. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. That's New Living. Now, some versions say if your eye is good, if your eye is single, if your eye is healthy, it says here. And I asked them to share, and they all shared great insights. It's amazing how from the same text, all these different insights came out. See, that's how God's word is. God's word is a resource. And we can look at the scripture and keep seeing new things and keep gaining new insights. That's how wonderful God's word is. And I thought about, on this first of this year, about challenging us once again to make a fresh commitment to the Word of God, to the Bible, to the words of God. Not read the Bible just for a lesson or reading it just to prove something to somebody, but read it for your own devotional strength. Read it just to know God's purposes better. I suggest BibleGateway.com. There's several reading plans out there. I use Bible Gateway. You also, if you have one of those Amazon devices, you can use Alexa. I tell Alexa, Alexa, what's my news? Now, she's programmed to give you the top news of the day. I changed it. I want scripture. So when I say give me news, I get scripture. Alexa, what's my news today? And I get scripture. All right. However you go about it, just have a method and a plan where you read the Bible every day. Say, read the Bible every day. Or more than once a day. Three times a day is fine. That we want to make sure that we're rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Jesus said Again, he said that the eye is the lamp of the eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. So then if light is what we need to see, then pay attention to what you're looking at. Pay attention. Now, he says eye, not eyes, but eye of perception. We want to both have our natural eyes and our perceptive eye looking at the right things. Amen, somebody? I mean, you may have a strong spiritual eye, but if your natural eye is watching all the wrong stuff, it's hard to shape a strong spiritual life if our natural eyes aren't looking at the right things. So let's renew our commitment to the Word of God here in 2020. And let's make sure that we're not so caught up with television and social media and things that we don't look at the Lord and look at the Word as we should. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. There's a slide for this too here. Jesus said, "People do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." In fact, read with me. People do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need food. We need rest. We need a job. We need rest, entertainment. We need recreation. All those things we live by, but not alone. We don't live by these things alone. Some people live by bread and entertainment and work alone. All they got is entertainment, food, house, cars, nothing else. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And God has a lot to say, y'all. The scriptures represent what God has spoken. Every word. Genesis to Revelation, every word. And we want to spend some time, quality time every day, looking at what has come from the mouth of God. Then there, of course, is a prophetic word. Sermons that are being spoken and teachings and all these things are coming from the mouth of God. We don't live by bread alone. We need more than those things. We need to have every word, say every word, not some of the words, not the ones we like, not the ones that make you shout or say amen, but even the words where the pages of the Bible are stuck together. It's not been read. Those pages are all stuck together. You got to peel them apart. You don't read that part. But every word, we live by every word from the mouth of God. In Psalm 119, verse 105, David said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Yeah. David knew it. David saw it. God's word. He had some scripture. He also had God speaking directly to him, but he had enough word to know that this word from God is like a lamp unto my feet. That is, it illuminates what's right under me, and a light unto my path, it lights what's ahead of me. So God's light shows you where you are and where you're going. Now, how can you know where you are and where you're going if you don't read the Bible? How can you know what you're doing, where you should go, without the word of God? Therefore, his word, see, "Your word, Lord, is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." So then that's why we do Bible readings. We do Bible teachings. We want to stay close to the word of God. Jesus Christ is the word of God. And that word brings light. So then if we are commissioned for our eye of perception to be like a lamp, if our eyes, our perception is like a lamp, then if your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. Well, your eye cannot be healthy if we're not looking at the right things. Again, we must train our physical eyes, we must train our spiritual eyes on the right things, things that will bring light into our lives. Now, of necessity, in this world, we have to look at things that are dark, things that are wrong, things that are bad. We got to listen to foolishness, and I mean, because it's all around us. You can't avoid it. Happens at work, happens everywhere. But that's why we choose to then to read the Word of God. We choose to pray. We choose to meditate, because if we don't choose to look at light and bring those things in, all we'll have around us is darkness. That's all there is out here. That's all there is out here. So we need to make sure that we are countering that influence by spending time in God's Word. Yes, it's all like, you know, this is all like duh information. I know that. But some things should be said and said again. We all need to be reminded of some things. Stir up our minds. Amen. Stir up our pure minds by remembrance. Now, this year, 2020, it's interesting because it makes us think about 2020 vision. We think about that those numbers sound like vision. So we have a lot of themes going around. I'm using as well the whole idea that 2020 represents 2020 vision. And that's a good way to think, because it's good to think about vision and how that natural vision and spiritual vision is a parable. They work together in giving us some clarity. And so that my part of my focus today is, in fact, in praying about this new year, I've taken that 2020 into a vision statement. And our vision statement for this year is see well, watch God perform. Amen. Say, Lord, help me to see well and to watch you perform. Think about that. Now, we'll read the text in a moment. I'll teach on this. But that's what came to me. Now, it's not everything God is saying for this year, but it's a core issue, because truly, if we don't see well, then what really can you do in life? I mean, if on your job, if you don't see well in terms of see the purpose and the mission, see the role of whatever your job is, whether service or providing a product. I mean, if you don't see well, then, you know, you can't perform, the customers don't respond, it just doesn't work out too well. You know, Dad and I, Dad and I and Jonathan went to lunch on, Thursday. So they reopened the Steak and Shake down here, closed it and reopened it. So let's go Steak and Shake. So we go there at 11 o'clock, and there's one person at the door saying, we're closed inside. You can go through the drive-thru. Now, the sign said 10 o'clock it opened, which is late for Steak and Shake, but 10 o'clock. So whoever has purchased it, it's a new franchisee. But obviously, someone didn't see very well up in there, amen, because the employees didn't come to work. I'm sure what happened was someone or more than one person did not come to work. And the one person that was there, maybe two was there, they couldn't open the restaurant because they could not seat people, they couldn't serve people. One person was out in the parking lot picking trash up. I guess she's an employee too, trying to encourage us to come on in, come in when we open. No, I can't stay out here in the cold till you open. We're going down the street to the Indie Cafe over there on Indie Diner in the mall. Recommend them highly, okay? The point is, God bless them. Hope they got it straightened out. But I'm sure that the whole problem there was someone is not seeing well. If you don't see well, you don't do well. Maybe someone didn't check the time, what time I got to be at work. I don't know what happened, but something broke down in someone's perception, understanding, which led to poor actions. That's just one example. And everywhere, even in our church, you know, if we don't see well, we can't do well. But moreover, if we don't see well, it hinders even what God can do. We'll come to that here in a moment in our text. Well, just be encouraged that every day is a new day. And of course, a new year is a different feeling about that new day. So then a new year, a new decade, as my wife says, opportunity to reset, renew, all the rewords, all those truths come into play as an opportunity for us to make a fresh start. Amen? So make the most of every day, and this day being a new year, a new decade. So again, part of our vision again is see well, watch God perform. We're going to learn from Jeremiah in a moment. And he had an encounter with the Lord that was described in chapter 1 that would really encourage us. I want us to think about that and look at that here in a moment. And again, this year makes us think about vision. And but you know what? 20/20 vision is not perfect vision. Did you know that? It's not. It is a measurement of one dimension of vision, human vision, called visual acuity. Say visual acuity. It's just a measurement of how well can you see that chart from 20 feet away. The most time they'll put that, it's in a mirror behind you, it's 10 feet away in a mirror. But 20 feet is the distance. Even though we want to tie the year to visual acuity, I'm so happy that God's bigger than how well I can see physically. Amen. Used to be, I didn't need these glasses on my head now. I didn't need no kind of glasses on my head. I can read stuff close. I can read stuff far. It was no problem. But then something changed. Father Time is undefeated, they say. But this is important because what God began to show me was what God has for you in this year 2020 is a multifaceted vision. God wants you to see close, see far, sideways, up, down. God wants you to have clarity on every matter that concerns your life. Finance, family, marriage, job. There's vision from God for everything. Amen. See, there's vision from God for everything. Don't need glasses. So thank God that the analogy of natural vision is nice but flawed. Because God's vision is always clear and it works at all distances, in all places, at all times. What God has for you in this new year, new decade, I am so excited to remind us that we're not limited to what we can see. We walk by faith and not by sight, not only by sight. Amen. I am so excited that that is our reality. Let me give you a little fun fact, okay? Fun fact. Back up the slide here. Did you know that Europeans cannot have 20/20 eyesight? What they have is 6/6 eyesight. Did you know that? You gotta pray for them. They're in a world of hurt. We Americans, we have 20/20 eyesight. The whole world should be like us. We're America with apple of God's eye. Oh, Europeans got 6/6. What's wrong with those people? Well, arrogant, dumb American, they don't measure in feet. Europeans measure in meters. So our 20 feet is their 6 meters. Little fun fact, just threw it in, no charge, okay? We do think the whole world's like us only. Everybody got to see 20/20. No. It's 6/6 someplace in the world. Either way, human vision is just a measurement of one capability. How well can you read a chart from 20 feet away? It's called visual acuity. Now, here's an important point about natural vision that ties into spiritual vision. Every person, especially every child, needs also these other aspects of vision. First is eye focusing. That's the ability to quickly and accurately maintain clear vision as the distance from objects change. Right? Yeah, that's important. Some people can have visual acuity from 20 feet, but their eyes cannot keep focus on things from something close and look up and see far away. That's another problem that can occur, though one has what they call perfect vision, quote unquote. Another important aspect of vision, human vision, is eye tracking, the ability to keep the eyes on target when looking from one object to another. Yeah, these are important, obvious things, but, you know, if children don't, that's why we help our children, we have eye tests. These are all important factors to learning and growing and developing in life, isn't it? And of course, Sister Stacy knows about this very well. Next is eye teaming, the ability to coordinate and use both eyes together when moving the eyes. So both eyes are moving at the same time, look at the same thing. And then there's hand-eye coordination, the ability to use visual information to monitor and direct the hands when drawing a picture or hitting a ball or something. Then finally, there is visual perception, the ability to organize images on a printed page into letters, words, ideas, and to understand and remember what is read. So all those are different aspects of human vision, but just as we've described these for human vision, there's also dimensions for spiritual vision. There's prayer, there's Bible reading, there's being at church, there's taking studies. I mean, it's all different aspects that develop our spiritual vision. Again, if your eye is healthy, not just from one dimension, all dimensions, how we give, giving and serving and assisting, all that the Bible teaches, those are all aspects of how well we see spiritually. And again, I want to emphasize, I'm using this as an example, but I do want to encourage us to make sure that our children and other people's children are being properly evaluated, amen, for the vision. It is essential that they hear well, that they see well. Now, so again, the Bible uses eyes and natural vision to establish truth regarding spiritual vision and having proper focus on the things of God. Now, I want to now talk about Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Let's take a look at Jeremiah's encounter with the Lord to understand and to see and learn some major lessons. This is our crux of our text today, the basis of our vision statement. Jeremiah chapter 1, we're going to read verses 4 through 12. I'll do this in the course of the lesson now, not read the whole text and then come back, read again. Understand me, what we're reading here is Jeremiah's encounter with God. The things that are said to Jeremiah were for Jeremiah. And some things don't make sense to us today, reading it. But the application to us is notice the process of how God worked with Jeremiah and see him working with you the same way. Ultimately, he had to see something in his context, but we must see things in our context. So watch this. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and ordained you as a prophet to the nations. This is point one. I'll call this God's purpose. Say God's purpose. And this is where it all begins. With Jeremiah, it's where it begins with us. It all begins with God's purpose. Say it again, God's purpose. And of course, we see that God clearly said to him, before I formed you, I knew you. That's awesome to me. You know, God knew all of us. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, before your mother was born, I mean, before anything, God knew you would come. And so that God's saying the obvious, but making a point to impress upon Jeremiah that I knew you before you were born. And I even called you to certain purposes before you were born. You were called to be a prophet before you were born. Now, that's his context. Our context is the same. Whatever you're doing now, whatever good thing you're doing now, say, then God purposed that for you before you were born. You believe that? Now, some stuff we're into now is not from God. So get rid of that. And that's part of being, you know, mature and growing up. I mean, we're into some practices and things that were not a part of God's plan. We just picked it up along the way, and we can put it down. Amen. Number two is your excuse. Say, my excuse. And Jeremiah had an excuse. Verse 6, it says, then said I, ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to whom all I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Wow. So he had an excuse. Lord, I can't speak. I don't speak well, and I'm too young. You know, God doesn't care about your excuse. I mean, God knew what he got when he got you. But he didn't know what he got. God knows what he has in us, all limitations, shortcomings notwithstanding. And so that God's response to him was, I don't care about what you're saying. He says, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Then he encouraged them, don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with you. So that's his context, but our context is right there. The example is the same for us, different situation, same context. Third is God's empowerment. Say God's empowerment. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words into your mouth. Oh, he fixed that problem. How about that? I can't speak. I'm too young. Here, boom. I'll put it in your mouth. I'll put my words in you. Just open your mouth and let what I put in you come out of you. That's empowerment. And God sometimes do the same for us. We have excuses. Lord, I can't do that. I can't go over there. Well, I gave you a car. You got some gas in the car? I gave you some keys. Let's drive over there. Well, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to help that mission situation. Well, I put some money. You got paid last week, didn't you? You got paid, didn't you? You got some money? Give some money. I mean, God has put stuff. Many times, he's already done it. Sometimes he has to give it to us. Most times, we already have it. And so our excuses fall apart because God has empowered us. Say, Lord, thank you for empowering me. Number four here is your mission. Say, my mission. So here's what God told Jeremiah. See, I have this day set you over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and to build and to plant. Wow, that's strong. That's his context. That's strong. I mean, for a guy who said, I can't do anything, God said, I'm putting you over nations and kingdoms. That's wow. That's huge. But our context isn't so much nations and kingdoms. Our context is our finances, our jobs, our families, our situations, that he has given us a mission, our ministries, he's given us what we should do. So the context for him is one thing. Our context is whatever the Lord has for us. He says, see, I have this day set you. You got to see it. That's the whole point. See well. God wants his people to see. Because if they don't see with the eye of faith, they won't be able to do. They won't have the will to do or the power to do. God wants us to see. God doesn't want puppets. You know, puppets, you've seen puppets, marionettes. They got the string, the puppets jumping around. His mouth is moving. He don't see. He has eyes. He can't see. He's not talking. He can't see. The puppeteer is doing all that. God is no puppeteer. God wants you to see with your own eyes. When God says, raise your hands, he don't pick your hands up for you. You raise your hands. Amen. Open your mouth, right? God doesn't make us do. We are not puppets. We're made in God's image and likeness. And God says, make a decision. Take a decision. See, I have set you. See where I have set you. Amen. Wow. So important to see where God has set you. I'm very aware of that in my life, in ministry, obviously. I'm very, very keen to where he has set me. I see. I really see where I've seen for a long time. It don't make it easier, but I'm clear. I'm not confused. I'm not muddled. I know exactly what I see. Just getting there is the hard part. Amen. Now, number five is the vision test. Say vision test. In fact, the topic today was, that's the subtopic, God's vision test. So watch this. So after God ministered to him and gave him mission and gave him empowerment, then verse 11, it says here, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? He said, I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Now, I don't know what that means. For him, I can research it. I've read some stuff. I don't know. It was something for Jeremiah. Whatever it was for him, his context. But for us, it's something else. What does God want you to see? What does God want you to see? What's God testing? How is God testing your vision? Because he asks questions. God asks questions of us. And those questions are designed to find out what we see. The story with the 12 spies going over to the promised land. Remember that? That story works in all kinds of messages and sermons. He sent 12 spies over there, and 10 came back talking about giants in the land and walled cities, and we can't do this here. Two of them came back saying, we're well able. Because if God gave it to us, then we're able. That's a simple equation. God gave it equal we able. You know what I'm saying? But to people who don't have vision and don't see well, obstacles and giants and troubles means we can't do this now. No, we just can't do this. And that's sad. And so our context is, what is God showing you that your response is, I can't see that. You know, I listened to a webinar by Paul Scanlon. The brother from England, you heard him speak here on video. He had a webinar, live webinar I was in on Tuesday, and he gave out some strategies for the new year. Number one strategy is don't tell people what you're thinking about. Don't tell them what your vision is. Don't tell them. Work on it. Let them see it. Let them tell you. See, because sometimes we think, well, I'm going to share this to get some encouragement for people. Well, you can tell a couple of people, but most people are going to look at your vision like, what you talking about? They may act like, oh, amen, praise the Lord. But they're really thinking, he crazy. Look at him. There he go again. So he had 12 strategies. Number one, don't tell people your purpose and vision. That is, I mean, while it's being worked out, as you're just conceiving of it, a new idea. Now, once it's rolling, tell everybody about it because they'll see it. His point, example was, don't tell folk you're going to lose weight and go to the gym. Just go to the gym, start losing weight. Then people say, hey, you're losing weight. See, so here's the point. I'm realizing how important seeing well is. I've known it for a long time, but so much so that we have to manage it better. Now, my wife, I can tell my wife things, tell some of y'all things. All I'm saying is you got to be careful who you're talking to. Because agreement will break down the whole plan. A lack of agreement will break the whole plan down. You got the point. But Jeremiah said, He passed the vision test. Now, number six. Here is what we call the release. Say the release. Verse 12. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well. I am ready to perform my word. I read that all my Christian life, but somehow here recently it's just meant so much more. You have seen well. I am ready to perform my word. Is that to say that God wasn't ready before he saw well? That's exactly what it's saying. That God, why would God do for us what we don't see? Why in the world would God want to do anything for us except for mercy and saving our lives and, you know, mercy stuff? But why would God do stuff for us that we won't see, won't believe, won't embrace? So this verse makes sense. Now, that almond tree, I don't know what the almond tree was, but whatever it went, he saw it. When Jeremiah saw that, God said, you've seen well, now I'm ready to perform my word. And I want us to have the same experience with God. Our context, whatever God is showing us, showing you, showing us as a church, we need to see it. So God says, you have seen well, I am ready to perform my word. Hence the vision statement, see well, watch God perform. Is that clear? Amen. Pretty simple, pretty basic, but I believe it's quite powerful, quite insightful. And it's something that it's at this new year, new decade, it is something I'd like for all of us to embrace. And I believe it's something that's key to what God wants to do among us in this season, in this year. There's no doubt about it. It's Bible principle, and that's why we need to step into purpose, step into plan, step into our responsibilities, step into our service, wherever we're serving at the church. We should step into that with all of our hearts, all of our focus. We should be clear about what we expect God to do. Amen? Well, now hear this. Be clear about what God is showing you, and he'll do the rest. That's it. Yeah, be clear about what God said, what God is, and he will do the rest. You know how it is in your lives, in your profession. Educators come to mind. We have several teachers among us here, and all of us have taught somebody something, trained. When you have a group of people that you're supposed to teach or train, those students need to see the lesson, need to see the points being made. I remember in my Master's of Education coursework, now I was in instructional design. I was trained to design instruction, not just to teach. I understand teaching, obviously, but I was trained to design instruction. And there's something called 9 events of instruction. This, somebody figured out 9 events, what has to happen for instruction for learning to occur. Number one, gain attention. Gain attention. Number two, inform learners of objectives. Number three, stimulate recall of prior learning. Number four, present the content. Number five, provide learning guidance. Number six, elicit performance, practice. Exercise. Number seven, provide feedback. Number eight, assess performance. Number nine, enhance retention and transfer to the job. Those are solid. That's been taught for decades. It's exactly the way it happens for teaching people. It's also a parable for how we learn as believers. But all begins with gain attention. Gain attention. If folk are not paying attention, you can't do anything. You can't help a person. You can't grow a person. You can't grow anything if people are not paying attention. We want to consider this whole concept of see well, watch God perform, because this is how any fruitful thing is going to happen. Any fruitful purpose, anything fruitful God wants to accomplish this year hangs on you and I seeing well. Please hear that. Now, we have ideas. I got ideas. I sent a survey out to all of you. I've got about 5 responses so far to it. Great ideas, great insights. And everything that's said, everything we think can only happen if we see it. I mean, see it enough to engage with it. Amen? And to see the actual, to see, if we don't see things, we can't do things. That's all I'm saying. And in my ministry and business and all that, same thing. So God got Jeremiah's attention. My question is, does God have your attention? Does God have your attention in 2020? Do you have the attention of others? If you're leading, do folk pay attention to you? Because if we don't pay attention, we can't see. And if we can't see, we can't perform, God won't perform. But when we see well, watch God perform. Amen? Let's all stand. Father, thank you for reminding us of these truths and realities. Lord, for stirring us up in our remembrance, for these are things we all know. We've all heard these things before. But Lord, help us to grasp these things, to commit this to heart, commit this to our action, first by seeing it, embracing it, putting it into the front of our minds, so it's there when we need it. Lord, thank you for the example of David